Well, if you're admitted to hospital, there's every chance that you'll need some kind of intravenous treatment. It might be fluids, it might be medication or blood transfusion. Devices like catheters and cannulas are at the centre of modern medicine. And in fact, approximately 30 million such devices are used in Australia each year. And despite their prevalence, there is a very high failure rate, which costs our health system annually up to $700 million. Part of the problem is Australia's failure, apparently, to adopt international best practice. So I'd ask you to tweet me or email your experience in this, especially if you work in medicine, if you have to administer IVs, what's your experience? Our Twitter handle is at RMBreakfast, or you can email us, and I'll read some of your responses in a few moments. But first, Kathy Van Extel reports.
16-year-old Brisbane schoolgirl Chloe Sells has had more than her fair share of needles.
I was diagnosed with lymphoma in 2013, and that caused me to have bone density issues in my knees. So I have to have treatment for that every month to try and build up the bone density and help with the pain.
So you go to the hospital once a month?
Yeah, and then they just put the cannula in, and it runs for about 4 hours, and then they have to wait an hour to make sure that you're feeling okay afterwards.
Chloe's in remission, but the multitude of medical appointments continue. The regular infusions to build up bone density were made more challenging because of the effect the cancer treatment had on her veins.
My veins are really hard to find. They're really small, and a lot of the nurses would have to try like two or three times to get them, which is a bit of a struggle because I didn't really like needles at the start. You know, but they can only try a certain amount of time, so if they don't get it, then I might not be able to do the infusion that day. So that was a big pain. And then when Trish came along, it was just so easy. Like, she's in there like 5 minutes and it's finished, and hardly any pain with her ultrasound.
Tricia Clyden is a nurse practitioner at Brisbane's Lady Cilento Children's Hospital. She's specialised in paediatric vascular access.
It can take many hours sometimes to escalate the failed attempts at cannulation. Chloe also had many oncology follow-up appointments as well, so she could easily spend an entire day at the hospital waiting to firstly be cannulated and then be free to go to her remaining appointments. Although it was difficult to find a vein in the traditional sense, once I stepped in, I was able to use ultrasound and cannulate her successfully for her monthly infusions thereafter.
IV devices are the most commonly used in invasive medical procedures in Australia, about 30 million used annually. But research repeatedly shows there's up to a 33% failure rate. At a cost of $70 an IV, that amounts to around $700 million.
Most patients, probably 75 to 80% of patients who are inpatients, will need some type of vascular access device. And my role is to consider the technology that we have available to make sure the right skilled person is using the right technology, to ensure that the right device is placed the first time so that we're not having to place multiple devices during the course of patient's treatment.
Tricia Clyden has adopted world's best practice to improve outcomes not only for her patients, but the hospital. However, across the Australian health system, that's not the norm.
I think because it's seen to be such a common device and they've been used for so long and there have been complications associated with them for so long, it's just been assumed to be the norm. But those complications don't have to happen. We can get rid of complications associated with vascular access.
Ironically, while Australia is leading the world in the research around vascular access, it's other nations that are leading the way in implementing best practice models.
The research that's been done in Australia, and we are leading the way in vascular access research. It has influence and is referenced in international guidelines in the UK. We're big in Norway and also in the US. We're still trying to get uptake in our own land.
Samantha Keogh is a Griffith University Research Fellow and President of the Australian Vascular Access Society. She lists a range of reasons for the failure to adopt best practice, including funding for equipment and technology and education. She also believes a cultural shift by health professionals and patients is needed.
We've accepted for a long time that you can have a number of attempts to find a vein, but we know that we have the skills and the technology to help people find that vein and get a drip in the first time. They don't have to have multiple blind sticks trying to find a vein. We know if you get it in the first time that it's more likely to work for a longer period of time. The more times things fail, the more pain the patient goes through, the second and third catheters are more likely to fail, you've got higher risk of infection. So if we can get it in the first time and keep it in till the treatment's finished, that's a better outcome for all.
Samantha Keogh's a member of the Centre for Research in Vascular Access, which is seeking 5 years of funding from the National Health and Medical Research Council, not only for more research, but education as well. She says a better approach to IV treatment will result in significant savings to the health sector.
It costs money in replacement of the products that we have to use, people's time, interrupted therapy, and not to mention the pain for the patient. And if there are complications, then there's all the money that you need to use to treat the complication.
As a health professional working with some of the nation's sickest kids, Tricia Clyden says improved practices will make a significant difference to the stress children experience.
The scariest thing for them is the needles. Patients always report the pain of cannulation as one of the most painful aspects of being in a hospital. So if we can remove the anxiety around how many times is it going to take for them to get my cannula in, then that's going to make their experience a lot better.
Chloe Sells agrees. She saw many of the younger kids getting chemo, some only 3 years old, were often most distressed by the needles.
They really struggle with the needles, and I just look at them and I think, oh, I struggled like emotionally with thinking about that needle going in my arm, and I just feel so sorry for the little kids, especially, like, they really struggle.
It's stressful too for the parents watching their children struggle with the constant needles. Chloe's father, Corey Sells, says the expertise of Tricia Clyden made a huge difference.
Chloe had already had PICC lines and central lines and VASC has put in for other things. So I guess the kids up there get so stressed by having so many procedures done that the easier they can make it, the better it was. It just makes it so much easier on the parent as well, because they're not seeing the kid as traumatised. If they had more access to those sort of things, it would be a lot less stressful for the kids, which in turn makes it a lot less stressful for the parents.
Brisbane parent Corey Sells ending that report from Kathy Van Extel. And Griffith University is conducting consumer surveys for both adults and children who've had an IV in the past 5 years. We'll put a link to that on our website. And we've been having our own survey this morning, in a sense, asking you for your experience with IV treatment. Here's a couple of your tweets and emails. Jane on Twitter said she's been told she has dodgy, small, movable veins. About one nurse in five gets it right, she says. Blood tests are huge business. They should be able to train their staff properly. That's Jane's tweet. Kira says she's not only experienced problems with nurses struggling to perform IV procedures. She says doctors don't always get it right either. And on our email, Pamela has written about her 91-year-old mum who lives in an aged care facility. For about the past 10 years, she says her mother's been asking if doctors could use thin needles. She needs pathology tests, and medical staff have difficulty inserting needles in her arm or hand because of her very thin skin. Sometimes, she says, staff will listen to her mum, but most times they will not, and result in her mother having to sit while medical staff tried to pierce her skin before giving up and referring it to a more senior staff member. And another email from Linda, who says being overweight is one of the biggest problems for intravenous treatment, and often a central access device is required. Central line insertion is not without risk. It's also very expensive. And Linda says dehydration, patient stress, this can also cause problems, and adrenaline can make a vein constrict once the needle's been inserted. So she says ultrasounds can be used to insert difficult cannulas, and it would be great if all hospitals had access to this tool and were trained in its use, which goes back to the point made in Kathy's piece that best practice would mean funding for equipment and technology to streamline all of this. So thank you very much for your messages. It's 16 minutes to 9 on Breakfast.